So this week's parsha is B'Shalach, and the Jewish people finally emerge free. The Egyptians, of course, chase them at the Yam Suf, but God miraculously causes the sea to split, and they emerge safely on the other side. And what I want to talk about is what happens next, because you know you would think that after the sea split and after the Jewish people were saved, that finally things would be okay. That finally, for the Jewish people, they would be protected by God, their needs would be fulfilled, and that they would be able to, make their way towards Sinai, towards Har Sinai, to receive the Torah, and finally, after 210 years of slavery, finally to be able to relax. And yet, when you read through the Torah's depiction of what follows after Kriyas Yam Suf, it seems to be just the opposite. And it's quite, when you read through it, at least for me, it's quite troubling that they just go from one incident to the next, where there's just continuous challenge and the difficulty that they face. And I want to spend a few moments just going through some of that and maybe try to understand what that was all about. But to understand it within the context of our daily davening, of our daily tefillah. You know, we're all familiar with that the Az Yashir, that the song that the Jewish people sang after they successfully crossed the Yam Suf, that's part of our daily tefillah. Every morning it's in the Psukei Dezimra, and it makes a lot of sense why it's there. Psukei Dezimra is all about us learning once again each and every morning who Hashem is, the fact that God is the creator of the world. Baruch Shamar V'Haya Olam Baruch Hu, the God through his word created the world. Not only did he create the world, but he's Gozer Mekayim, that God decrees and he fulfills. Merachim Al Aretz, Merachim Al Abrios, that God is involved in our lives. And there's a whole series of Tehillim that we recite, the Ashrei, the Halukas, that describe God's involvement in our lives. And it culminates with the Az Yashir, that we sing the song, we recount the song that the Jewish people sang when they crossed the sea to see, to what extent that God is involved in our lives, that God throws, the horsemen and the chariot into the sea who's chasing after us. So it makes a lot of sense why we say Az Yashir every morning in the Psukei Dezimra. But what's also fascinating, what I want to focus on, is that there's a second and a third time that we also invoke the Az Yashir in our daily davening. And it's not the complete text of the Az Yashir, but it appears right before we say Shmoneh Esrei, both in the morning during Shacharis, as well as the evening during Maariv. And so, for example, in Shacharis, after we say the Kriya Shema, we come to the paragraph of Ezra Savoseinu, that God, you are the helper of our forefathers. And all of a sudden, we give a whole recounting of the experience of the Jews in Egypt with a specific focus of the Yam Suf, of the splitting of the sea. In Mitzrayim, Galtanu, you redeemed us from Egypt, at Beis Avodim, Bidisanu, from the house of bondage. You released us. Kol B'choreim Harakta, V'chorecha Ga'alta, you killed their firstborn, you saved our firstborn. And then the Yam Suf Bagata, and you cause the sea to split, the Zaydim Tibata, and it gets very descriptive. Vididim Hervata, you caused your enemies to drown, you caused those who were beloved to you to safely pass through the sea. Vayichasu Mayim Tzareim, the waters covered your enemies. Echad Me'am Lo Nosar, no one remained, right? None of the Egyptians survived what befell them. And Alzo Shibchu Ahuvim, Roman well, because of this, your beloved ones praise you, they exalt you. Nasnu, Yedinim, Zmiros, Hiros, Esprachos, those who are your friends, dear to you, they give you sing songs and praises. Rachos, Vados. And then, just skipping a little bit, Tilos, Lekelayon, praises are deserving to you. Baruch, Mavorach, God who is blessed. Moshe, Bnei Yisrael, and now here's the Az Yasher. Moshe and the Jewish people, Achanu Shira, the Simcha Rabba of Emruchulam, they sang to you, the Simcha Rabba, with great joy, together. Micha Mocha Balim Hashem, Micha Mocha Nedar Bakodesh, Nora Silos Osei Fela. A famous line that appears in the middle of the Az Yasher. Shirach Shakadasha, Shivchu Guvi, Shimcha Sasayam, Yachad Kulam Hodu Vimichu Viomru, with the new song, the redeemed ones praised your name at the sea, all of them in unison, Yachad, together, they once again proclaimed you as their king, and they said, V'amru Hashem Yimloch Li'olam Va'ed. Right, the phrase that concludes the Az Yasher, Hashem shall reign for all eternity. And so there's this, again, it's not the entire Az Yasher, but the major themes of the Az Yasher are invoked after the Kriya Shema, just prior to us starting our Shmone Esrei. In a similar fashion, we do this during Maariv as well, a similar recounting, and also these verses of Micha Mocha, Hashem Yiloch Yilom Bo'ed. And the question is why? Why at this point, right, why moments before we're about to rendezvous with God in our Shmone Esrei, do we invoke the Az Yasher? Do we talk about the Kriyas Yam Suf? Right, it's an amazing thing that I'm not sure, you know, how often we think about it, but you know, this event, this miracle, which for another time is not so much a focus of the Seder, I'll talk about that a different time. But when it comes to our davening, it plays a prominent role in our daily tefillah. And it appears in the Psuki de Zimra, but then at the most powerful moment of the entire davening, the moment that we all wait for, the Shmone Esrei, when we're going to have our private conversation with God, we're going to beseech God and make all our requests and to praise God and to give our gratitude towards Hashem. Right before that, we have to invoke the splitting of the sea. We have to invoke these verses from Az Yasher. And why is that? So in order to answer that question, I think we need to go back to what happened after the sea split. The sea split, the Jewish people sing the Az Yasher, they give their thanks to Hashem. But then, as I mentioned when we began, all of a sudden life becomes or continues to be very difficult for the Jewish people. No sooner are they rescued and the sea split, the Egyptians drown, we're told after the Shira concludes, Ayasa Moshe Es Yisrael, this is Perek Tezvav Pasachav Beis, that the Jewish people left the Yam Suf, they began to march forward from there. Vayitzu Mibar Shur, they enter this desert of Shur. Vayachush Shoshes Yomim Bamidbar V'lo Matzo Mayim. They travel for 3 days and there's no water. Now this is very troubling, if you ask me. How could God do this to the Jewish people? You would think that I don't know if you're planning a trip, you know, for your family, right? You're going on a summer vacation or midwinter break. You're going on vacation. You know, one of the things you plan ahead of time is where you're going to eat. You know, are the restaurants you're going to stop at? Are you going to, you know, pack a picnic, a lunch? You got what drinks you're going to bring along for the trip? You're going to pack the cooler. You know, so God is the parent here. You would think Hashem would have packed the coolers for the Jewish people. There would have been stops along the way. You know, when you're traveling on the turnpike in Ohio, you have those nice rest stops where there is food to buy and snacks and drinks. Like that should have been part of the plan. You know, Hashem should have had the foresight to these are people just emerged from slavery. You know, it's not like they were living the good life. It was horrible what they were experiencing. And yet, there seems to be no plan. Like nothing, there was nothing that was thought out in advance. Like, how am I going to, what are these 600,000 plus people going to drink along the way? How are they going to survive in the desert? They travel 3 days and there's no water. And they come to this place that's called Mara. It's bitter. They can't drink the water there. Finally, there's some water there, but it's very bitter water that's undrinkable. The people complain to Moshe and they say, Manishta, what should we drink? Yitzhak El Hashem, so he cries out to God. God gives him this branch. The branch throws in the water. Miraculously, it sweetens the water. And okay, now they have water to drink. Okay, like, you know, it's sort of like, you know, you're traveling. You didn't prepare in advance, but lo and behold, you luck out. Then there's like some gas station where you get something to eat. So, okay, we dodged a bullet there. What happens next? So I'm skipping a little bit for the sake of time. Then that they continue traveling, and lo and behold, they come to a place where there is plenty of food to eat. They come to Elima, and there's 12 different streams of water. There's 70 tamarim, 70 date trees, and Baruch Hashem, things are great. But they can't stay there forever, and they keep on going. They continue traveling, and once again, as they enter, then it says, as they enter the desert of Sin, Sin Yud, Samach Yud Nun, which is between Elim and Sinai, they, by Ilonu, once again, they complain. Al Moshe the Aaron, by Midbar, they complain to Moshe, by Yomer, and they say to Moshe and Aaron, Mi Tame Musina, but Biyad Hashem, Beretz Mitzrayim. We would have died in Egypt. At least there, and it is Mephoshim's question whether they're exaggerating here, but they talk about the meat and the bread that they had in Egypt. But here, we're going to die of rav, of hunger. There's nothing to eat here. Right? They're in a desert. Right? So they lucked out when they came to this Elima, but now they're in a new location. There's nothing to eat. So what happens then? God says to Moshe, okay, I'm going to cause this something to rain down from the heavens. And here we learn then all about the mun, right? The mun that's provided to them. There's a lot of discussion about this mun, about what it is. And here I think where the Torah begins to clue us in as to what is happening here. Because this is not the end of the problems that they're going to face. At the end of the parasha, once again, they're going to come to a situation where, again, there's no water. And there, famously, that's when God tells Moshe, right, to hit the rock. Here he's told to hit the rock. Hits the rock and water emerges. Again, the same question you could ask. Again, Hashem, like, no water? Why are you making life so difficult for them? So Moshe, when describing what the mun is going to be, Moshe tells the Jewish people the following. Yomer Moshe, v'seis Hashem lachem ba'erev basar lachov v'lachem b'boker l'spoa. By in addition to the mun, also these birds were going to come. What are you going to understand? B'shmo Hashem eshtulon aseichem. You're going to understand that God has heard your complaints. Asher atem alinim alav. V'nachnu ma lo alena tulon aseichem al Hashem. What have they Jewish people been doing throughout this time in the deserts? Every time they came to a situation when there was no water or no food, they cried out. They complained. Who do they cry out to? So here's the key. They cried out to Moshe, to Moshe and Aaron. They didn't cry out to Hashem. But Nachnuma says Moshe. Lo alino, it's not alino. It's not on us. You gotta turn to Hashem. You gotta turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? That's what's important. And this idea is reinforced a little bit later on, where God says to Moshe, "Shamati, now I have heard Tlunos Bnei Israel." Right? It is God who has heard. It's not Moshe and Aaron. It's me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's God. Bidatem, and I'm going to provide for you, right? I'm going to provide this meat that you're going to the slav, these birds are going to fall. Bidatem, you should know, Kani Hashem, that I am Hashem, your God. And it takes a while for the Jewish people to understand this. If you look, if you turn to towards the end, where once again the story of the of Moshe hitting the rock. We're told, this is in Parak Yud Zion, towards the very end of the parsha in Shvi, by Yisu called Das Bnei Yisrael Midbar Sin, Masayama Piasham, by Achanubir Fidim, they encamped in Rifidim. The Ain Mayim Lishtos, and there's no water to drink. By Yarva Ami Moshe. So here's listen to the words. The people by Yarev, they have a strife. They argue with who? With Moshe. By Yomru, and they say, Tanu Lanu Mayim Vinishta, give us water and we will drink. By Yomru and Moshe, what is Moshe's response? Mati Rivuni Madi, why are you fighting with me? Why are you arguing with me? Matanasu Natashem. Right? You're testing God. In other words, what should you be doing? You should be davening to Hashem. You should turn to God, right, with your troubles, with your afflictions. And the Torah emphasizes again, the people thirsted for water, by Yelam al Moshe, but they complained to Moshe. Anyway, they say, why'd you bring us out of Egypt? Cause us to die and our children and our animals and with thirst. So Moshe cries out to God, Ma'asalam, what should I do? Moshe says, about to kill me, Skaluni. And so you have this one event after the other where the Jewish people legitimately are suffering. They have no food, they have no water, but they seem to be missing the boat. They don't understand what they're supposed to be doing. And what's fascinating is that the Torah concludes the parsha with Amalek, right? If things couldn't get worse, now it gets horrific, right? No food, no water, and now you're attacked from the rear. But here's what's fascinating, right? Right, Moshe tells Yoshua, okay, get some people to fight, and Yoshua leads the people off into battle. But what does Moshe do? When Moshe lifted up his hands, right then the Jewish people were successful, and when he placed them down, right then Amalek was successful. What's the takeaway of that? Right, what's the message of Moshe lifting up his hands? Right, so the Mefarshim explain, right, Chazal explained that clearly lifting the hands up to heaven was showing the Jewish people that where should you turn to, that who's going to be your source of strength, who's going to enable you to withstand this horrific attack, who will protect you? It's when you turn to God. It's when you turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? That's the key. So what's happening here at the end of the Parsha? So the life of the Jews is not easy. On the one hand, maybe you could argue, zelo fair. It's not fair. Come on, give them a break. But Hashem, at this early stage of their redemption, needed to teach them a critical lesson. That ultimately, that they need to develop a relationship with God. That life is going to put you in predicaments where you're going to be often in the desert. That you're going to face the one hardship after the other. And that sometimes, as we're told right before the splitting of the sea, God will say, Mati Tzakilai, why are you crying out to me? Daber b'nei Yisrael, v'Yisrael. So you just gotta act. You gotta move. Right? You gotta put in your efforts. And you gotta sort of jump into the water as Nachshon Ben Aminadav does. But there are often gonna be times, and even in those times when you are acting, where you have to recognize that the ultimate success comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It comes from God. And that you're going to need to rely upon Hashem and to recognize that no matter how bad the situation gets, and whether you're suffering in slavery in Egypt, or whether you're in a desert where there's no food and water, or whether you're being attacked by an Amalek, that it if you have this connection to God, if you stay close to Hashem and develop this relationship with Hashem, so Hashem can and will be there for you. Hashem will watch over and will protect you. He will provide for you. And the Jewish people had a hard time figuring that out. Right? They kept on turning to Moshe and Aaron and thinking, like, you know, Moshe and Aaron, these human beings, they will provide. And Moshe is saying, no, what are you crying out to me? It's not to me, it's to Hashem. Right? You need to develop this this trust in God and forge this this relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it was a process. Right? It wasn't easy. It took many, many struggles and many difficulties to get to that point and to recognize that. And it's a process that we continually face about, do we rely on Hashem? Do we put our trust in God? How do we balance our efforts that are required and at the same time recognize that we need God's blessings? That with a God by our side, you know, we can find blessings in our life and find success. But that we need to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Hashem put all these challenges in front of them to sort of wean them into this understanding and to create this relationship with them. And using this idea, I think now it's understood what's happening in our davening. We say Az Yashir in the Psukei Dezimra because that teaches us, reinforces the idea, as I said earlier, that, you know, that Psukei Dezimra is all about understanding God's involvement in our lives. But we repeat the Az Yashir, and we repeat the story of the Kriyas Yasdav right before we have that rendezvous with God in our Shmona Esrei to recognize that ultimately we're at God's mercy. That ultimately that we need Hashem for everything in our life. That no matter what we do and what decisions that we make, and we try to make the best decisions that we can, ultimately we are dependent upon God, and that's how God wants it to be. But ultimately God wants us to have a relationship with him. And God is there for us. We don't often understand how God works and God operates. But our responsibility is to forge and to create that that relationship, right? To create that connection. And therefore, just moments before, both at night, at the Maariv, as well as in the morning, in the Shmona Esrei, just moments before we take those three steps forward and we encounter God, we remind ourselves of the Yamsuf, of the splitting of the sea, a moment when we were completely at the mercy, that the only way for us to have merged successfully was with divine intervention. The sea was in front of us and the Egyptians were chasing after us and we were trapped. There was no way for us to, under normal circumstances, to survive that, to somehow emerge unscathed, to not be either cast into the sea, killed, or being schlepped back to Egypt as slaves. And yet at that moment of desperation, at that moment of such fear, it was God. It was HaKadosh Baruch Hu who saved us. And just like he saved us and protected us in that moment, so too in moments when we find ourselves in the desert, we find ourselves without food and water, or our enemies are confronting us, it's ultimately through our connection with God and our crying out to God, if God so wills and desires it, that God will and can save us and protect us in those moments. And with that awareness and with that understanding, you know, then we can take the three steps forward, and then we can turn to Hashem and our Shmona Esrei, and we can understand that ultimately that we need God to be with us. That we can only rely on our Kaddish Baruch Hu. And that's ultimately what Hashem wants. He wants that relationship. But ultimately, you know, we're here in this world to connect to God and to do what God wants from us. God gave us an intellect, a capacity to do great things and to better this world. But to understand that ultimately we can only be successful if we connect to our Kaddish Baruch Hu and develop that relationship with him. And it's an ongoing process. It's a process that we have to learn over and over again. That sometimes we forget, as the Jewish people themselves had experience during this period of transition from the Exodus to Egypt until until they ultimately came to Har Sinai. It was a challenging process along the way. Maybe God was ultimately was testing us, as we ourselves ultimately are tested in life. But the challenge is not to forget our Creator, and to remember that it is Hashem who is desires that relationship and wants us to build that that trust, and to recognize that ultimately that whatever happens to us comes from God, comes from our Kadosh Baruch Hu. And I think it's such a powerful thing that we do right before the Shemone Esrei. We remind ourselves of this, and that ultimately we realize how connected we can be. And that's why we probably say the Az Yashir. We say the Micha Mocha B'lim Hashem. Right? Who is like you, God? Right. Ultimately, Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Va'ed. That God, you will reign forever. Right. We proclaim that faith, that unwavering of faith in God, and understand the relationship that we have with Him. And at that point, then we can daven. Then we can turn to Hashem, make our requests, forge that relationship, praise Hashem, thank Hashem, and build the relationship that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, wishing everyone a very good good Shabbos.